I don't know. I haven't thought about it yet. All right, welcome to Slow, season two of the reboot, episode one. We only had one episode last season. That was, you know, my bad. But you're going to put that in the fridge?
Yeah, I'm still here, though.
Because you couldn't wait, like, a
All right, so this podcast was supposed to start an hour and a half ago.
Here's some chips if you want
to... Oh, cool, chips, yeah. So we're going to be good with this. we're going to be completely off the topic most of the time. So, anyways, with us is the, you know, the original crew. We have Ball So Hard and Quail Man. Woo! Also, my dog Piper is going to be making some noise in the background. But
very masculine dog.
Quail dog.
Very, very masculine dog. Anyway, so we're about to start a new season, guys. Should we do a brief overview of what happened last season?
Sure. What happened, Trey?
I think the Boston Red Sox won the World Series. So you got a couple legit lineups from me. The rest of it was playoff season.
Technically, what happened was the Hawks came and thrashed through the league.
Everybody, right? There wasn't anybody who even.
No.
Didn't they get pushed to game seven?
He got a little bit of run for his money with, I think, the Pacers.
But then he just.
Was it the Pacers?
He got pushed to game seven by someone.
The Pacers.
When that was the Eastern Conference final? Or
no,
that was
no,
the semifinal?
Like the first or second round?
Yeah. All right. Well.
First round, I think
he
went.
He. I mean, honestly, we have a lot of sim veterans here, but we were playing with old software. Wignosey knows his shit with this software. It probably was pretty easy.
Wignosey actually created the game, I heard.
Yeah, he created the game. So it's, you know, it. He had a little bit of an upper hand, but it's good to see some, you know, some other teams have some success that they didn't have back in the old league.
Shit's over with now.
Yeah. Now the Lakers are back and ready to avenge last season.
I'll call it the commish again.
The commish? but anyway, so we had the Lakers were in the Western Conference Final. I'm sorry,
I know we're used to that.
Not the Lakers.
The Mavericks and the Jazz.
The Mavericks and the Jazz. So that was decided largely in part to the best player in the game being injured in Game 7.
Yeah.
Or injured going into
game
7.
Game 5, 6, and 7.
Oh, man.
And Stokel at 7.
That's a team to be a little afraid of if Jordan can stay healthy.
I don't know. I talked about this the other day with, I think it was with Dar. I think... If you have the second best player and the third best player, you can beat Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
But if he has the second best player, you're done. Like, Jordan, I mean, from my perspective, my team, like, I know I can drop 130 points in a game. I don't think Jordan's going to drop 130 points by himself.
That's true.
I don't think his team will be able to drop that, so. We'll see. I mean, I certainly think he could beat me if we got into a playoff series, but.
Would you say it's similar to LeBron in the last league? And that if the owner had... I'm not calling out Steve Prege because I was probably just out of it. But if, you know, Prege had made some moves this offseason to make his team better, you know, it's the same thing we watched with Make It Rain when he had LeBron and he never...
Well, he ended up putting some pieces around LeBron, but he just didn't have enough time.
Didn't finish.
Yeah, yeah, but Prege, I mean, I don't think he changed his... I don't think he changed his depth chart throughout the whole playoffs. So I'm talking about Michael Jordan was still in his starting lineup in game 6 and 7 when Jordan was out.
I think he did change it for that.
He did not. That is a fact.
Okay.
Well, when it was all said and done, you know,
Wig won.
The old Hawks won.
The old Atlanta Hawks.
Deservedly
so.
Yeah, it's a better team.
It's one of the few times where you've seen a team be the best team throughout the season
and
in the playoffs and win it all.
I mean, I think even in the old league when the commissioner was doing what he was doing, his team was never the best team on paper. And from what it looks like, Wignosey's...
Not on paper.
Well, are you talking about paper being looking at the names versus real life contributions are you talking about?
I'm looking about just
even ratings.
Rings.
He wasn't the
ratings.
Best team on paper. I mean, there was a lot
but
of teams.
But looking at Wignosey, like, wouldn't you say Wignosey's team is pretty damn strong, all things considered?
I mean, if you look at it on paper, I don't think his team looks that strong, but he makes them play like, I mean, he,
yeah,
it's like Greg Popovich almost, you know, like, he knows how to, quote-unquote, motivate every single player and play them in their position.
Let's get to the root of it. Our understandings of this game are off of
the
writings of Wignosi, the teachings of Wignosi.
I based my defensive game planning off of those posts in the newbie forum.
When we were week 20, and someone finally referenced Wignosi's explanation of what the defenses were, and I finally read it, I was like, oh wait, this makes sense. I'm totally screwing my team over by going this way. So
yeah.
Oh man, that was rough. So, I think the other biggest story of the offseason had to be
trades.
B-ball reasons.
Oh.
No, that's I mean that's number two. Oh. And maybe number one. We just had to go in kind of chronological order.
Oh, gotcha.
B-ball reasons. You know.
Said his sayonara.
I think a lot of it is true. He didn't win the draft. The lottery, and
he wasn't in top three. If he was top three, he wouldn't have quit.
You know what's great about this, though, is that he'll probably listen to this. Actually, no, he won't even know where it is because he's banned.
Did he get banned? Banned him?
Dark banned him.
Yeah, but if he's
did he?
Yeah,
if he subscribed to this podcast, like I want everybody else in the league to do, then he'll get the update when he opens his iTunes.
That'd be great.
Yeah, it will.
It'd be great. Hey, people.
No, I mean,
you can find us at fbbsimleague.proboards.com.
Yes.
You just gotta go through a proxy.
Yeah, so I mean,
your IP band wrong.
But I mean,
did you give them that idea?
Yeah. Way to go.
Sorry, we gotta approve the registrations anyway, so it's alright.
No, I mean it, you know, that's kind of been his MO the whole time, so you know, it's too bad that it got to where it did, but this league has been in large part extremely open. We record the Sims. We do live Skypes on the Sims. Like the draft order itself, the lottery was determined and recorded, and it was legit. I mean, you can get feelings hurt that certain people got certain picks, but you know, at the end of the day, I was as surprised as anybody. And
I don't think anyone's really calling into question the fact that anything was tampered with. Obviously, it wasn't, because I mean,
right.
We all saw the YouTube video of the draft file being generated. So,
right.
And I mean, I was talking to Darth.
Do you guys honestly, knowing Darth, do you honestly think he would give me a higher asset than he had to?
No, that's point in case right there. I mean, like, why the hell would he give Scott of all people?
Right.
He knows Scott would get players anyway.
So
why would he gift him?
How many times? This was our eighth lottery, right? Ninth lottery?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, like
okay, so it's our ninth lottery. How many times did you guys get top three picks?
I've never got one.
Let me clarify this. I got two top three picks, or I got three and four. My first lottery, but that's only because I traded number six.
Yeah. Okay.
And Sean Marion. Then,
but the
next year, I traded my pick to Scott. That's the year that I went on, like, the 25-game losing streak at the end of the season. Not intentionally. I was putting, like, I had just a really young team that didn't match well.
Right.
But I got all these pieces for the future, but in the process also I traded my second, my pick, which turned out to be number two,
right.
Which turned into Carlos Boozer. Scott sent that pick to the Wolves.
For Shaq.
Then I had two.
With Boozer.
Yeah, then I had two other picks that I fucking traded, that I traded for Sheed.
First of all, for everybody getting upset, it was Stephon Marbury and Boozer for Shaq. It wasn't just the number two pick, all right?
Well, Boozer turned out to be pretty damn good, too.
Yeah,
I guess my point is, you know, I made the playoffs, I made the playoffs and was in the... I made the playoffs, two times, maybe?
Yeah.
If that. And I was in the lottery most of the other time, and I never was higher than... six. I think six was the highest pick I ever had. Most of the time, I was right there. So I had the seventh best chances this time, and I ended up with a three. I think that's the best luck that I'll end up with for the remainder of this.
If you're the worst record in the league, you will not get number one.
I think it's almost a guarantee.
I don't think we've had a worst record get number one ever in all of the Sims that we've had.
Well, and it really depends
Cordola.
On it depends on how that's determined, because when the original software was created in That was back in like
2000s or so.
No. But the one we were using before, that was like 04 maybe 03. If you go back and look at how the percentages broke down, it was like, I think it was like 300 chances or something like that.
No.
So out of 300 was how they determined it. So you had a certain percentage, but you didn't have as many chances as you do now. Like now there's 1,000. And so the worst record gets 25% of that, which is 250 chances.
Yeah.
So at that point, it kind of works out where you have a better chance of getting it now. And so I think the new software is maybe, it depends on how it does that, how its chances are determined and things like that. So,
and that's something, I can't remember what Dorothy said or what he had seen in it. I mean, to be honest though, it's a crapshoot regardless of how those lottery works. And we've even seen from the get-go.
Where I was going with that is that if you look back at those years when the chances were smaller for the team with the worst record, you'll see number 13 to number 12 getting the top pick.
Yeah.
That's how it happened in real life in the NBA.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's only been recent that people with the worst record
stick around.
Like, really do get, you know, guys from the back don't usually jump up that high.
Yeah.
But regardless, we had a pretty interesting draft class. Number one pick, Dikembe Mutombo. Number two, Larry Johnson. Number three, Steve Smith. And, you know, a lot of people are talking Rookie of the Year already. Who are y'all thinking? I mean, it could be somebody else, too. I think Stacey Augmon was number four.
I think Dikembe could be Rookie of the Year if we get a depth chart from that team and they make adjustments. I don't think we've seen anything from the Heat yet, have we?
I think he's done. I think he's gonna get kicked.
Like
now,
he hasn't submitted anything, and it's unfortunate because he's been one of the GMs from the get go. He's been around since the.
He's made a finals.
Who's
he's
that?
Made a finals,
Sono.
Sono.
Oh yeah.
I mean, Dikembe's averaging as a rookie in preseason. Granted, this is in preseason playing 40 minutes, 16, 12, and then two blocks.
Nice.
And only three personal fouls, which isn't horrible. But he's a rookie. And, I mean, he can only get better, you know? Like,
right.
I envision him as probably one of those guys where his future potential will be from blue to purple at some point down the line.
Now, all three of these guys are starting, right? Dikembe should be starting.
He's
Larry Johnson's starting, right?
Yep.
I have Steve Smith. He's starting. He's playing a different position. But he's had a really good preseason as well. I see a lot of picks for Larry Johnson. Explain.
I mean, I didn't pick Larry. I picked Dikembe just because he's on a team that can't score, and he's going to get a lot of rebounds.
Right.
They don't have another guy that can rebound, and he's a defensive force. But, I mean, Larry can win it too because I did his per 36 per Hornets guru, and it would be something like 26 points per game, 11 rebounds, 3 assists. I mean, that's
tough to go off the preseason ratings too, because I mean, a lot of teams were starting their backups.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that, and even like the last sim, I put 30 minutes for all my starters, but they only played like 24, 25. And I honestly think that sometimes you may even say we need my starters to play. I want my starters to play start minutes, but they don't play that in the preseason. And I think that's kind of something maybe built into the game. You know how Dark had mentioned that we set our defenses on our game plans, but then in the actual game, sometimes they go away from those game plans, and there's just no reason behind it. It's outside of that. Sometimes the game just manages itself. The teams that did start their starters in the preseason that got full minutes were, like you said, I mean, I'm looking at the Heat right now, and they don't even have a full roster. They only have 10 people on their team, which isn't a legal roster, technically. We may need to sign a couple players. You don't even have a power forward.
I just upped it. Larry Johnson's per 36, 29, 10, 3, and 2.8.
Damn.
Turnover, so.
Per 38 or per 36?
Per 36.
I need to generate an advanced stat like per 37. I want to drive this down because I don't ever see my starters playing 36 minutes. I see them playing 37, 38, So I need an advanced stat that's going to give me per 38 so I can really know what my starting
point is. I've sort of determined that my success is going to be completely based on whether or not those five guys get 36 minutes a game.
36? You should just put 40. 40
no,
no, 40,
no.
40, 40, 40.
Hey,
yeah.
All,
48.
not everybody, but most most of those people, especially those three guys, two, three, four, Norman, Smith, and Miller, those guys are down for 40 points. If they stay in there doing 40 points, I mean 40 minutes a game.
40 points. Huh?
Yeah, 40 points. That would be nice. I mean, I think I'm going to score a lot of points. I don't think I'll be able to stop anyone, but... so far in preseason, they were shooting pretty efficiently, which is something you can look at and actually draw some data from that. Like,
well,
even if you're not playing.
Let's keep in mind that preseason champions aren't necessarily the regular season winners.
Listen, I'm a testament to that. I went something like, 4-1 last
Sonics.
Year?
Sonics. Yeah, Sonics last year were undefeated.
But they had a ton of injuries, so you can't.
Well, they did, but even before the injuries amounted, like they.
But they were coming. They were like the seventh seed until
really?
They had. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're. Well, they had like a ridiculous home record.
Yeah.
And they're starting to get it together on the road. But, I mean, you know, my team was like 5-1 or 4-1. And once the season rolled around, I was. I mean, even before my trade of Campbell, I was a 500 team at best.
Yeah.
You know?
But I mean, Trey, your team definitely, I think, is one of the bigger surprises in the preseason. I wasn't expecting.
Do you think Steve Smith has a chance at Rookie of the Year?
The only reason I'd say no is because Reggie Miller is going to be the top guy pulling shots.
Yeah.
That being said, I mean, Smith still scored. What did he score in the preseason? It was like 16 or 17, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, you got two guys right there that can light it up.
Oh, yeah, and what's been the biggest surprise of all, and thank you to KB for trading for, I forgot the guy's name at this point, it doesn't matter that much, Williams.
Willie Anderson.
So Willie Anderson was a guy that I was thinking about keeping because he would play the 2-3 better than Norman in my mind. So, but when I was offered that package, I had to take those two picks, give him that. Ken Norman is starting at power forward and succeeding in the preseason at power forward, being my leading rebounder. Now, this is preseason. I understand that, but he's got 16 points a game. He was 8.2 rebounds. The guy is small compared to your typical. You know, four.
Is he your chain fry?
I'm very much on. Yeah, I mean, he's getting to that point. I'm going to be watching his stats very closely because I think I'm very pumped to have these three guys there now.
I think your biggest surprise is Steve Smith, but not his scoring; it's his passing. And the preseason, he averaged 5.5 assists and led your team as a three. And you know, like I always say, like. What's important in this league is you can always find these guys that can score 20-something a game. But what's important is that ancillary-type numbers, like your rebounds. Like, is your two-guard pulling out five rebounds? Do they have five assists? Do they steal the ball? Do they play defense? That's the stuff that matters
just to
in the
show
league.
You, and just to show you the swing in that, Dawkins wasn't on my key three players the first four games. That was Norman. And then I put Dawkins as a key player. He was averaging, I think, in the twos in assists in the first four games. And then when he went into, you know, when he was the third guy on my list of key players, his average now went up three with two games, which means that he just went crazy in those two games as far as assists. So it all really depends on the game plan, too, in a lot of ways. I'm having some problems at center, but, I don't want to spend too much time talking about my team.
Dawkins,
my point is that this is why I don't think Steve Smith wins Rookie of the Year. It's because of Miller and Norman having...
Yeah, I don't think that would be the reason.
Well, I think they're just going to... I don't think Steve Smith is going to score 20 points a game. Although, it would be...
Dawkins had 5 assists in the last game, and then he had 14 in the second to last,
yeah.
So... A really good game. It's kind of hard to say whether he's gonna.
See.
What's fact or fiction?
But then his points went up then too because in that 14 he scored 17 in one of the games. Is that right?
17 and then he scored
like
6.
Oh yeah.
So he's like very well. He had a lot of fouls.
But
he's very like off and on. It looks like
right. But the key thing to me, the huge win for the Pistons, and we won't spend much more time
Willie
on this.
Willie Anderson had 29
mentioned, by the way. Oh, did he? Nice. There are 7 guys with purple future potential, and 2 of them are on my team. 7 guys. And I don't know, the game created that. That happened. It, you know, I'll take it. I don't know that it stays in the future. But that being said, I mean, these two guys, Miller and Smith, in memo to the league, these guys are not tradable at all. The ownership will not be letting them go.
Ever tradable. I mean, if someone came to with Jordan for one of those, then...
Yeah. I mean, but it would have to be... No.
No.
You trying to get rid of Larry Bird? You have Larry Bird?
Larry Bird.
Oh,
KB does.
Larry's Bird. Yeah,
no. No, I mean, that being said, like, this is preseason and there is some hope in Detroit. I still don't think that we beat teams very often this season, but we'll be better than we were last year.
All right, let's look at some other surprises for the preseason. If you had to pick one surprise for the preseason, who would you go for and why? Does anyone want to go first, or I can jump in?
Go ahead.
All right, I was going to say Stacey Ogman. I didn't think
players.
Yeah, players. Sorry, specific players, and I sort of made that clear. I think Stacey Ogman probably was one of the biggest surprises in the preseason. Now, obviously, not all, again. These are just preseason stats.
Where was he drafted?
But he was drafted 7. I want to say 7 or 8. No, you had 8, right, Scott?
Yeah.
And he wasn't there for you.
Correct.
So I had these 7 or 6. But I think, like, I mean, just looking, he's 6 in points scored per game in 22. But he wasn't drafted for his scoring. He was drafted for his defense, which looks pretty good. But, I mean, I think for me, the Pacers needed that kind of player. And I think they drafted him to be that player maybe next year or the year after. I don't think they were looking to see that kind of impact as soon. I mean, he's instantly can jump into a starting spot for them. So that's, for me, is a huge addition on an already good playoff team.
Yep.
So that's my surprise pick of the player wise.
I'm gonna go with a team, but I picked them to make the playoffs. But I really think they're gonna do it this year. It's gonna be the Magic. They went 4-2 in the preseason. And that's despite some guys getting worse. So their leading scorer last year, Kendall Gill, he kind of, I guess, regressed. Yeah, that's the right word. Digress is not the right word. Anyway, but he got a little bit worse, but his team seems to be doing a lot better. So I think he's almost, I wouldn't say a lock for the playoffs, but he's definitely going to fight for it.
Well, who are your locks for the playoffs right now? Based on preseason. Based on preseason.
I mean, I think there's 10 teams that can make it easily. I don't have any. I mean, the bottom.
East or West?
East.
No.
The West, I think, is pretty set, though. I mean, I would say the Mavericks, the Nuggets, the T-Wolves, the Jazz, Warriors, Lakers, Suns, and then the Kings. On the West. I think that's pretty locked, maybe.
Who are your division? Okay, so let's go with that. There's 4 divisions now. There's not 3 divisions. Do we have 3 divisions in the last game?
No.
We always had...
It's 2 apiece.
Yes. Yeah. Who are your picks for division champs right now? Obviously, Atlanta.
Yeah, Atlanta...
Sorry, Bucks.
Sorry. It's Atlanta's to lose.
Yeah.
He keeps saying that. He's trying to be political. He sucks at it.
I learn from the best here.
Yeah.
The guy opposite the table from me.
You know, the Pacers, the Bucks are good too. I mean, not to talk about the Bucks, because I know we'll probably spend a half an hour on them.
We spent more time on the Pacers.
So far.
For the
so
first
far.
Time
I know,
in like 4 seasons.
New Year's resolution early this year.
New season's resolution.
I think
to my own Channing.
Great
Bryant,
new segment.
Okay.
New season's resolutions. Every time we do this first episode, we have new season's resolutions. So think about them. We'll do those in a little bit.
Who y'all have one? I'll go through it in a minute.
I mean, I think the Jazz could be. I mean, they're going to be right back there again. It's unfortunate them and the Mavericks are in the same division. I'm going to go with the Jazz just because I think at some point Jordan's going to be the guy that we expect him to be.
For the Midwest, who do you have, Doug?
I would have to go with... I'm going to go with the Mavericks. I think the Mavericks... Again, I felt they finished strong last year.
But they traded everybody. I mean,
they traded a few players, but I think they got a lot of depth down low, which was one thing that I know Darth is emphasizing throughout the whole offseason was rebounding, and I think he definitely got better in that.
He did it. I mean, he...
And looking at his... Just looking at his differential, too. Look at... Sorry. He did... All right. Sorry. I didn't interrupt, but go for it.
No, go ahead.
I was just saying, look at the differential that he had in the preseason. He had 103 points scored per game, but it was allowing only 86. So, I mean, he had almost a 17-point differential.
So that's the kind of stat that I wouldn't put much into the preseason.
I mean, because
first off, you're not playing everybody. You can go.
He's one of the, like, four teams that played their starters.
Yeah.
Along with the Hawks, who have a 15-point differential, and some other crappier teams. No offense, Trey.
My guys had 30 minutes in the first four games and 36 in the second.
You're not expecting to win the championship.
No.
These two guys were in the championship last year, and they're playing their starters. So.
Well, they're trying to get the finite details. They're not going to find a dime in the rough by playing their backups.
Right.
Which is something we would do. Like, we would try and play those guys and determine if we have somebody who can maybe fill in for somebody who's expendable.
Right.
In my case, a Kevin Duckworth over a Hot Rod Williams.
Right.
It's just one of those things that... When you are at the top of the game, which those guys are, you're going to try to find out what the back end of your lineup's going to look like. You don't want those guys starting. You don't want to see the stats of what they can do with 30 minutes. You can do a practice round, a couple practice rounds of your game plan.
But look at this. I mean, this is one of the reasons I didn't want my guys playing full minutes. Danny Ferry for the Mavs, out 35 days. Big piece of that team, you know, got hurt during the preseason. I mean, this guy is perpetually hurt, but
it's a huge risk. Freak injuries, and you never know what to expect with the team or the players coming out. You don't know if an injury is going to happen. I mean, it could happen 1 minute into the last, or 1 minute left in the last game of the preseason, you know? Mm-hmm. And you don't want that. So I don't mind playing my starters a little bit just to make sure that everything's still flowing when they're out there. But I actually want to see what my backups can do. Who outperforms the other? Like, that helped me this year. The guy that I got from you, Buck Williams, that helped me out decide that he's going to get more minutes at center over Greg Kite, who may have a better offensive rebounding rating. But Buck Williams just played, like, night and day better.
In a lot of ways, Buck Williams and Duckworth, who were both the... not as well rated as Hot Rod Williams, were better players down low, so that doesn't surprise me much with Buck being a success there. What about Michael Adams? What do you think about him?
The jury's still out on that trade. Yeah, he's had a pretty
I was waiting to hear the rose-colored glasses view of him, but
no, he had a quiet preseason, but I didn't bring him in. I brought him in for defense and facilitating, and I didn't bring him in to score points.
He doesn't facilitate.
Well, 4.8 assists. I mean,
that's 4.8 assists in 25 minutes.
All right.
Per 76 is about 7.5.
Yeah, he didn't.
That's not,
which is better than what I had last year.
He had 8 and 7.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yes. But, like I
he
said.
He had 7.5.
I mean, I brought him in more for my defense. On the perimeter. I need a defense. I brought him in for defense.
Hey, Trey, what are we talking about right now?
Talking about...
Who brought this up?
I brought it up because I wanted to hear... Because I've been hearing what your thoughts were about Michael Adams through Scott. So I wanted to hear him and record them for everyone else's enjoyment. I'm telling you, for a long time, I was hating on Michael Adams so bad. If I could get rid of him for, like, nothing, I would have. And I got a first-round pick for him. So I might as well... Johnny Dawkins... is going to give me what he gave me last year, which is 8 and 7. Maybe better.
So trade rapes again.
I had multiple
trade rapes.
This a trade. I want to reenact the KB.
Can I hold that thread?
I'm going to reenact the KB trade. Hey, I like Willie Anderson. Can I have him? I'll give you 2 picks. I'm like, okay. Yep. So which ones? 92 or 94? Okay. Oh, I've been talking to guys. I think that, you know, I might, you know, I might be giving up too much. So how about top five protect 94? Okay. Post it. I'll accept it. That was the discussions. This wasn't the fluffing of people's, you know, stroking people's personalities or anything like that, that this player is going to be this much better for you. He offered them to me, and I took it. And that was the better of the two trades of the
See, you're nicer season. Than me. If you would have said top five protect, I would have been like, well, Willie really loves it here.
I was like, he could have...
And lucked at that.
He could have lottery protected that pick.
Here's a peek into the thoughts of Scott and his trade victims' conversations. Well, Willie really loves it here. you're gonna have to take away that if you really want.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, well, how to negotiate trades 101.
Well, like you said, Willie scored 29 against me.
Where the fuck is that trade made today? I wanna bump it.
Oh god, that was good. That was
Where did Darth post?
That was Darth. It had to be. I don't remember. That might be post of the offseason, honestly.
Anyway,
it's pretty high up there.
So, where did we leave off before?
We were talking about the divisions until we started talking about the Bucks for about 30, 40 minutes. So, let's talk about the Central Division, Doug. Who do you think's going to win that?
I still say the Hawks.
You're right.
Unless they lose.
You do not believe that. You think you're going
to
win it, right?
No, I honestly don't know. Because right now, it's hard to see what teams have what. Through the preseason.
So
I think
after he digressed with his team, see how I use the word again? Steregressed. That's supposed to be a joke.
I'm going to make it change it to something else like
dick.
Dick or something every time you say it.
Dick. No, you after he regressed, you don't think you're going to win. In your heart. Heart of hearts.
I mean, I always want to win.
Not want to, do you think you will win?
I don't like
you need to be more. You need
team.
To be more out there and make your call. Call your shot.
With every single one of these questions, are your balls rising up into your body?
Yes. I honestly think that it's a three-way dance right now in the Central Division.
Okay.
The Hawks, the Bucks, and the Pacers.
It takes two. It takes two to tango, though.
Yeah.
So
who are the two?
The Hawks and the Pacers are going to tango. For second place.
There you go. We heard it. We have our story. We have a name of the episode now.
No, actually, I already named the episode Welcome to the Jangles. Sorry, I couldn't think of a name, and if we didn't have one,
it works.
We can always update it. But
who do you have winning that division?
Hawks. Yeah. Just because, unless they get like. They are old. He loves playing that card. The point where old is really going to matter is when he starts getting injured. And
he's got, I mean, unless he makes some trades, he's got another year or two, but then he'll have to reformat his team a bit.
So, I mean, the Hawks, I don't think there's been enough talent switching hands last year to change that. We're talking about rounds 9 through 14 that hit free agency this year. And
yeah,
I got a couple guys that I, you know, liked to fill out my roster, but that was towards the back end of the roster anyway, so.
I'll say this. If he loses the division, I still have him every series because he just, coaches everybody.
Yeah, and that's where it's going to come down. Like, he can.
In the 7-game
series. He can adjust. You may adjust who you start against a guy, or you may adjust your pace. He will build. He knows how to build his team, or take his team as built, and contour them to who he's actually going to be playing.
Nice.
So if he's playing you, if he's playing you, he's going to build it to beat you, regardless of if you beat him by 10 games. It's going to take equal preparation by you in order to, you know, take advantage of him. But I think just looking at it, he knows what he needs to give. And so it's going to take a little bit more work in the playoffs from anybody else. If he gets in the playoffs, which he will, and he's one of the best teams out there, when he gets in the playoffs, he'll he'll find very little resistance from the Eastern Conference, in my opinion.
Fun stat. Who's the only team to beat him this preseason?
Was it the Lakers?
I'm starting my guys all the way.
Nice.
137 to 127. And almost 300 points scored.
Does anyone else think that the scores are a little high? Yeah. Like that they're...
Well,
that they're...
There's no defenders in the damn league. There's like five people that can play defense in the league.
But this wasn't what it was like in the 90s, right? People weren't scoring 130 points. That didn't start happening until mid-2000s, right? The Suns franchise?
Yeah.
Nash and Stoudemire?
I think it's fine.
Oh, no, no. I think it's fine. I mean, I think everybody's playing on the same level anyway, but I got kind of excited that I was averaging over 100 points a game in the preseason, and honestly, everyone is averaging over 100 points in the preseason.
Yeah.
All right, so Atlantic, do you know enough about that to make a call?
The Atlantic's one of the tougher divisions. Cause
didn't the Knicks win it last year?
No, they didn't. The Knicks were 7th.
They were 7th.
It was the Celtics that won it, but the Knicks ended up going to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Well,
the
Celtics sold off a bunch of pieces too, didn't they?
See, they sold off pieces for old pieces and for
8,000 draft picks.
Yeah.
So five 1993 draft picks.
And, I mean, he gave away Dumars.
Here's a trade idea for you, okay, Conroy? I will give you five 93 draft picks for the number one draft pick overall. I feel like anybody who had the number one draft pick may not be a bad idea to take the five picks, especially if two of them end up being lottery. You understand what I'm saying? Like, five picks. I'm going to give you these five picks.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. Even if I were a tanking team, like, if I had no talent around my team, if it's, like, Weber versus, like, a bunch of, like, B-listers, Weber, all day, every day.
Yeah.
Superstars are hard to come by in this league.
What is this? We said 1992 draft?
93.
1993 NBA draft. I mean,
it wasn't as
deep. I think
there's
two. I think it's Weber and what?
It wasn't as deep as the 94, and that's why I took that pick from you. By the way, just to let you know.
Huh?
That's why I took that pick from you.
Why?
It's because the 94 was a little deeper, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's Weber and Penny.
Penny? God, we're going to get to play with Penny?
Yep.
I'm so excited.
And then the next best guy is like, what's his name? Vin Baker. So, like, you can have five picks all you want, but if you don't get the top two, you're fucked.
Yeah.
So, what about the...
I think just that division, I think...
I said the Knicks.
I think the Knicks or the Magic. I think the Magic could rise to the top.
Yeah.
It's or, you know what, though? Don't sleep on the Nets. I don't think they're a bad team at all.
I
think
they
decided
to win.
Huh?
I don't think they'll win there.
They won't win it. I think they'll be definitely a top five team in the East, though. Maybe not five. Maybe six. But I think they'll be up there.
You say that, and you say that, but they have you, the Pacers, the Hawks. So only one of you guys can get the one or two seed, right?
Right.
So that's the three and the four seed probably locked up. Then you have the Atlantic Division winner. So they can only be worse than, like, a bunch of other teams. And those are almost locked. So top four.
I think out of all the divisions that the Atlantic is the most up for grabs.
Sure.
The Pacific, obviously, they have...
Well, for the whole season, too.
I think the Pacific is very top heavy with two defined teams in the Warriors and the Kings. And then the Lakers have climbed to the top to go into that race as well.
I think that if the Bucks and Hawks jump out to early leads in the Central, that the bottom teams don't have a chance of coming back and getting them, while that may not be the same in the Atlantic. If the Atlantic has two great Sims, the guy who's the bottom feeder, which just look at this point, the Celtics are 0-6. Now, this was preseason, but,
the
Celtics might be able to make up 2 weeks' worth of Sims. That's what I'm saying about that division, as opposed to the Central, as opposed to the West, the Midwest. The Pacific.
That's up for grabs.
I mean, it really is up for grabs.
Four teams. I mean,
Not many times. This was maybe the only season where the Lakers actually actively didn't try to get to the playoffs and win. And I don't think that's the case this year. I think they're going to move pieces in order to make their team better, especially if they're still there.
It'll be tough for me to keep lose that pick, though.
Yeah, I mean, you say.
So which pick are you protecting highly?
Oh, the Pelicans. I mean the Hornets.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, they changed. I've been trying to get Hornets out of my brain because I keep saying that when we actually talk.
Oh, did y'all see that they announced the color scheme for the Charlotte Hornets?
Did you see who the cover was on it?
Who?
Larry Johnson.
Oh, really?
That's how they showed it.
Yeah. Nice.
So you say there's three or four competitors in the West, or in the Pacific. Who's the fourth one?
Suns. Hakeem.
I think Hakeem's the only thing worth the crap on that team. I honestly don't think that team is going to even make the playoffs.
But did you look at the stats?
Yeah, I looked at the stats, and I just don't think they're worth it. I don't think they can make it. I don't think that team's going to achieve anything.
All right.
I think Hakeem is all they got. And
what is happening?
He's going to keep them borderline playoffs lottery every year so that they never get a pick worth the crap.
Are you trying to pick a fight? Are you trying to mind fucking the trade to Hakeem or something?
No. I just think that his team has reached the ceiling.
Okay.
That's fair.
The AC was their ceiling?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Put it on the record. Make me wrong.
It's on there.
Which team is that? The Suns?
I mean, they have Hakeem. Hakeem can probably get the sixth seed by himself. I'm not joking. He's 100 inside, 96 defensive rebounds.
All it takes is
92 post defense, 98 block. I mean, he really could. I mean, he might be as good as Jordan right now.
He's 28, too. So.
Yeah,
there's no reason.
For the Pacific. Listen to the Pacific's big men. Hakeem, Kemp, Malone, and then now Larry Johnson.
Yeah.
And Larry Johnson is like the poor man of all of these guys. Like the very poor man. The homeless man compared to the rest of those other three guys.
I'm not taking away anything from the Pacific. I just think that with the competition rising, you need to have a complete roster just to compete for that top spot. And yeah, I think the Kings, the Warriors, and the Lakers right now are that's three spots. Then you got the Mavs and the Jazz. That's another two spots.
So who were the top three picks at the creation draft? Hakeem, Michael. No, Michael was number one. Hakeem and
Gary Payton was two.
And then Hakeem was three, though, right?
Right.
So isn't it pretty apparent in those three teams that they don't have the depth because they didn't pick again until 60?
The only reason the Jazz didn't make the finals because Jordan got hurt.
Yeah.
Sorry, Darth, but I truly believe that.
No, but I mean, look at Hakeem. Hakeem didn't pick again until 56. Like, it's hard to really knock the guy's depth when there was, like, no one available for him and he didn't get a draft pick.
Well, you know what? I didn't pick until 28. And I had 29.
But then you turned around.
But
29.
I didn't get a superstar, you know? I didn't get a superstar.
But you got two solid. Your two guys were better than his first two guys.
Look what Darth did. Darth had number what?
He was one pick behind me.
Oh.
My guys just didn't mesh. I was in the middle.
Darth. I was going to say Prej. I mean, his depth isn't there, but he made a move to get Tony Campbell, who provided a big depth. I mean,
and that's why those
make moves to make.
That's
moves.
Why the only way to get
well,
better.
That's one of Inner's things. I have nothing against Inner, but we had a little spat at one point during the last sim where he was like, "Oh, you know, I don't run my team like yours. I don't do trades." You know, and I was like, "Well, you got to make trades to move on. You know, you could sit there and try to wait for your people." But people run teams differently. I mean, I'm not saying one's right or wrong, but we've seen how my methods work pretty well. You know?
Let's talk about the ways that you could have made your team better this year. If you were lucky enough to be in the lottery, you would have gotten a good player. What, that first eight or nine guys were pretty solid guys, right?
Pretty good additions.
So the only other way for these teams to get better, because the free agency market has not gotten good yet, is to trade away future picks in order to get better players.
Absolutely.
And those people, like, this is where we can't get that upset about trading picks away and teams hoarding picks. Because if you're hoarding picks, it means that you're making other teams better at that point anyway. Like, it's just the only way it's going to happen. There's just no way that we can stop that. All right, so we had a brief intermission there, guys. All right, so we talked about free agency. We've talked about who's going to win the divisions. We've kind of talked about awards a little bit.
Did we say who was going to win the division?
For the Pacific? We picked that one.
Let's go through each one of the awards. Like, just the playoff. I had a thread. I hadn't posted it yet. But let's go and make our predictions for the season.
Let's do them right here. Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm pulling up the thread.
We already have the Lakers here, so his was posted already.
Where is the thread in? Just, there it is. Okay. All right. So, Scott, do you want to just say yours, or you want us to read it for you, or what?
I mean, I'm sure I can read.
Okay, then you fucking read.
Was that on media relations?
I mean, put me on the spot, but...
Was that on media relations?
Yeah, so I have MVP as Karl Malone. One of the reasons I think it's going to be Karl Malone is because nobody on that whole entire team can score. And I think Karl is... I mean, no offense to him because they play great defense, but Karl's going to score probably 35 a game and have like 12 or 13 rebounds and a block and... I think that's going to be enough to win him MVP. For Western Conference champion, I'm one of the guys that are really traditional. If you won it last year, I'm usually going to give it to you unless you just blow up your team. So I picked the Mavs and the Hawks to win it all. Like we talked about earlier, for Rookie of the Year, I have Dikembe up there. Most improved player. Again, I think it's going to be a volume thing with Nick Anderson. The Wizards pretty much traded most of their scorers away, and Scottie Pippen took a huge dip in his rating, so I think Nick Anderson's going to lead that team in mostly everything outside of defensive categories. Defensive player, you have David Robinson because he's just a terror, but it could be Robinson or Hakeem that's going to win that award. Sixth man of the year, I have Bucket Steve Kerr winning it just because he's probably a guy that should be a starter, but he's just playing off the bench because... Bow is an asshole.
How do we determine? Let's go back to that because we've always talked about this. Is there a certain, like, if it's below 30 minutes, that's considered six man?
I think it starts because there are guys that are getting 30 minutes.
Oh, wait. It keeps track of who starts, right? Oh, okay, yeah. All right, that makes sense.
It's in GM of the year. I don't like to vote for myself, but it's one of those things where I think I did the best job in the off season. So we'll see. I mean, we'll see how it all unfolds.
I'll just start with, what was the first one, MVP? I'm going to go with Jordan. At some point, the guy's going to turn into the best player in the league, and I think that could be this year.
He's already
there. Hakeem is going to be a monster, or he's already a monster, but I think that Jordan, if used properly, will be unstoppable.
He won the MVP last year, right?
Did he?
Yep.
Because he didn't even put
PBSL, most valuable player.
Really?
Yep.
Well, okay. I'll give it to him again. I didn't know he won. I mean, yeah. I thought Prez ran into some problems with his roster.
No, he did really well until the playoffs.
Oh, okay. Okay, so that's why he won. I mean,
yeah.
Jordan led the league in scoring and all that, too, or pretty close to the top?
He was like 30 points a game.
Yeah.
34 points a game, 7 rebounds, 5 assists.
I think the Jazz, because I think Jordan's going to make a difference. I think the Jazz are going to win the West. I think that the Hawks are going to win the East and win the title. So,
yep.
What's the next one? I couldn't find the thread. I've already forgotten.
Sorry, let me pull it back.
Wait, what was the last one?
Champion. Rookie of the Year.
Rookie of the Year, I'm going with Larry Johnson. I would like to say Steve Smith. I just don't know that he'll get the points. Although right now he's in the top 20 preseason as far as scoring. Might be 22. Most improved player. I'm gonna pass on that one because I don't really know enough about how people performed last year. Defensive player of the year. I'm gonna go with Hakeem. Just because he's a monster again. His inside ratings are going to affect his rebounding, too, and I think that that's...
His rebounds are... I mean, he'll get 12 again.
Right. He's leading the league in blocks, too, right? He's leading the league in blocks, right?
He will, probably. He's got, like, 94 rating.
Yeah, so he'll be all right.
Sixth man?
Sixth man... I guess you're right, the same thing, Kerr. I hate to steal your picks, but I've seen the chatter about that, and... If he's going to play him in a six-man role, then that's that.
He's a good pick.
It's like Posey back on that Hornets playoff team. The year after when we had Posey, right? No, Posey was on the playoff team, the division winning team in 08, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we ran into all those injuries the next year, but we never, like, Posey would never step up and start. He was always the guy off the bench. Like, he never wanted to change that ever.
Right.
That's, like, the annoying part of, he may be the best guy in the league, best guy on the team to fit that position, yeah. But because he's got this, you know, this role that you have to keep, that's when you run into problems. And that might be what goes on with Kerr here at this point. Like, he's going to be the guy coming off the bench and running that second team. That's fine. And that's why KB wanted Willie Anderson. He maybe gave up too much, but if Willie's going to score 29 points
right
off the bench, I mean, you can't complain about that at all. That team's going to be still pretty strong. We said defensive player. We said sixth man. GM of the year, right?
Yep.
I don't know. You won't see. I made the most moves, I think, at this point. I made the moves that made my team the best, or was best for my team. But I don't think that you'll see any results from my trades until a couple years. You made like the next most moves, I think.
Yeah.
Probably. And I think you have a better chance at actually impacting the playoff picture this year. As far as change, you know, you're going to go from lottery to probably being in the playoffs. I think I'm going to have to give it to the Lakers at this point. I think we're going to see him make another move during the middle of the season, and that'll be that. I think everybody else is just, it's solid. Like, the other guys who are up there that we've been talking about, Wignosi.
Yeah,
Wignosi won it last year. I mean, in my opinion, you have to do something different. You have to improve your team in some way. And he may be the best person playing this game, but to me, you know, GM of the year is like most improved GM almost.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of things that have to go into it. Because if you just pull in what you won GM of the year last year with, if we were basing it off that, you'd win GM of the year like every year.
Yeah.
For five straight seasons.
Actually, didn't Cipraj win it last year? Now I'm thinking about it.
I don't know, actually.
Cipraj won it.
Yes, he did.
And
he did.
It was the first year where we didn't vote. But if we voted, I think Wignosi easily would have taken the cake.
Right.
So,
but even then, that you're defining it as you need something, you need a benchmark to base whether or not you win the GM of the year.
Exactly.
I think you're going to have a big jump. I think you could be in the top four. You know, especially if you make another move, you may have the ability to do that midseason. So, I don't like complimenting the Lakers too much, but I will in this point. I think you're going to be GM of the year. Your turn, picks.
All right, let's see.
Sorry. Did you already post them?
I did.
Oh, okay.
So I was doing my research just now. I'm going to agree with the fact that I think Michael Jordan will be the MVP.
Okay.
Again, it's his. I think he is, again, the best player. Hakeem will be a second, especially since, you know, Hakeem's the only thing on his team. I think he's going to be a second in the close running, but I think Jordan takes it. Western Conference champ, I'm going to go with...
Lakers.
No. I think the Lakers are maybe 1 or 2 years away. But,
Rockets.
I'm going to go with the window closing on the Mavericks. Like, this is their year that they can make it. And I foresee Dirk blowing it up if he doesn't. So I think he's going boom or bust this year.
So you think he's
going
to win it?
No, I think he's going to win the championship. Or for the Western Conference.
The Western Conference, okay.
Yeah.
I was just making sure I understood. It sounded like you were saying he's going to blow it.
Oh, no. He's going to blow it up if he doesn't win it.
Right. But after the season, not...
Yeah, not during the season.
Not five wins out and he's going to just blow it up. Okay, got
Eastern
it.
Conference, the political answer is the Hawks.
What's your heart
My heart says the Bucks.
Okay, the Bucks.
I will pick myself...
Shocker.
...to win it. Just because I think that I brought in some depth that I didn't have last year.
No
a little bit of defense. So, hoping that goes a long way. Champion.
You're going with the Hawks here, aren't you? The champion.
How can the Hawks win the championship?
I've said this a million times.
I
said this a million times.
I'm going to go with Darth winning it. I think Darth will win.
Oh, you're crazy.
I think I'll take him beating me because eventually my lack of defense, if history is where we're using our benchmarks here, is my team, until otherwise proves it, they don't play defense. So if he can get stops on the perimeter with my guys that I have, then...
You don't score from the perimeter.
No, but I mean, like, my wing guys. That's what I meant. Sorry, not the perimeter. Fuck you. Rookie of the year.
A real point.
Rookie of the year. Shut up. Rookie of the year. I'm going to go with Dikembe because I think the fact that the Lakers have so much firepower all over the place that it'll take away from some of Larry Johnson's production that is valued in the race for that. So I'll go with Dikembe there.
Well, we can't let him have two major awards anyway, right?
Yeah. Most improved player. I'm having a really difficult time picking this one because it's just so hard to, like, I want to pick a name that everyone knows, but
it's going
to
be somebody who gets more volume.
Exactly. And that's the thing. Like,
somebody got 10 minutes a game versus 30.
It's hard to really imagine who.
Or someone who turns out more productive. Looking at the Pistons, Miller's not going to be one, but
what about Norman?
But Norman is a guy who could possibly, he's found his best position at this point, maybe. And he's going to be putting up about the same amount of points, but he's not going to be the number two guy. He's going to be less shots and more points.
I think Purvis Ellison could be most improved player.
Purvis Ellison.
He plays the power forward for the Hawks.
Nice.
I
don't know why I knew that.
Defensive player of the year.
Because he's old.
defensive player of the year is going to be David Robinson. I agree with that one. Sixth man. That's tough.
I'm going to start playing Reggie Miller off the bench, by the way. So just so you
know. Just when they were first team.
Steve Kerr seems to be the popular decision.
So you, of course, can't do what the popular people do.
No, I was...
Like the PlayStation 4 or the iPhone.
You mean the... No, I like the dick.
You like the... See, even now.
Well, now we got that on
tape.
That, by the way, dick is sent... Xbox One is censored into saying dick now. That's why I said I like...
Why you said it cleanly that time and not...
I just want to clarify.
Oh, okay.
Sixth man of the year.
I'm going to cut that, by the way.
I'm going to go with Steve Kerr. I'm going to go with Steve Kerr just because I think that he's going to come off the bench for both at the 2 and 3 and just...
1 and 2.
Well,
he's
really
not
going
to play the 3.
He could, well, I mean, it depends how you do it. I mean, he could play 1, 2, and 3.
Well, he could play the 5, too, if we can play that game.
He's like magic.
Well, if he's going to play the 3, then I take away my vote for him as the 6th man of the year.
I'm going to go with a really small line.
Perimeter defense, F.
Let's go... Let's go quick.
GM of the year.
Sorry.
It's hard not to give it to Scott, considering he's really changed his team.
Worst
and
first.
Yeah,
here I come.
Like in a really quick and decisive way, he's changed his team. So it's really
what other guys have... I hate to be the guy that keep... You know, we're all picking Scott here. We're all picking Steve Kerr. I mean, the thing is... The Lakers did the most to make themselves a championship caliber team. Maybe not championship caliber, maybe competing at that level. And to me, I don't think any other team did that.
I think
I'll say this. I don't think anybody in this whole league thinks this will happen, but if the Hornets come back and make the playoffs after the moves they made, I mean, maybe they deserve it.
Yeah.
Because everybody thought they're going to be a lottery team after all that stuff.
It's hard to say because there are a lot of teams that made moves in the offseason, but they made them just to improve their teams, whereas other teams bet further themselves so they can be better in a few years. So it's hard to...
There's still moves to be made.
Yeah. It's not over yet. Obviously, these are just predictions. But at the moment, if you look back at the offseason and see what... GMs made moves to, and again, like you said earlier, there's some GMs, their strategies are to make moves.
Right.
Whereas others, like Nola, who had a great defense and decided, hey, I'm not going to make any moves. I mean, that not making moves and knowing when and when not to make moves is maybe could determine who a GM of the year is, too. So, I mean, it's hard to say.
I mean, could you give GM of the year if somebody made no moves?
Not no moves, but I mean, Nola made a couple, but that's after he saw, I think he made one after training camp, just because he saw a hole that happened.
Right.
But he had a great team that he just needed, you know, just needed to develop slightly. So, I mean, he could, if he gets to the finals, I mean, yeah. I mean, his team is improved. Then why not? I mean, he could be a candidate for not blowing it up like I've done in the past where, you know, I had some good things and I made moves for the sake of making moves.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, I'm going to go right now with the Lakers.
Okay. Bold predictions.
Bold predictions.
Sorry to put y'all on the spot, but.
You go first, since you pick.
What was the other thing that we were talking about doing?
Bold predictions.
No.
The NBA 2K.
No. Well, we were going to do that too, but there was something else I talked about earlier that I thought was a funny segment, and I've already lost it.
And we're gone.
I had to listen to it again.
To come back to that.
God, that sucks. Bold predictions.
Should have thought about it.
Yeah, I know. I was going to throw it out there for you guys to do first, and then maybe
I'll
just pass off.
Dick Cross real quick, and then
yeah.
See since it hurts when Seth.
Exactly. We're not going to take that one off. Bold prediction is that Doug will buy a PlayStation 4. That's my bold prediction.
It's not going to happen.
He's too cheap for that.
Okay.
Somebody might buy it for him.
Right.
Bold prediction for me, the Nuggets blow up their team. And end up being a lottery team, even though they said they were going to compete for the next year and the year after that, giving the Pistons a couple good picks.
My bold prediction would be the Bulls win the Central Division.
Ooh. Bulls have been, I got to hand it to Jan. He's made some good moves.
Yeah,
he's made some good moves. Exactly.
I could see a division winner blowing it up this year, and I don't know who, like, it's not very bold, but I'm just saying that somebody's going to see
the Mavericks and they'll make the playoffs.
Well, that and the Mavericks are the one, and I don't want to call him out, but I could see him if things don't go right through a couple of Sims just pulling the eject cord and looking to try to salvage his future. So I mean that's the kind of thing I think we'll see
for sure.
Our 2K League, we do have 5 participants because PlayStation 4 is the best adopted system in Sim League history.
Well, considering no one else wants to admit that they have a dick and they like playing with a dick.
Yeah.
They have to.
We've had some crazy bugs in our
sensor.
In our site. It just changes.
Oh,
like it's just weird combinations combined to do it. You know, it's just insane. Like
We did have I know we talked a little bit about this earlier in the podcast, but RPF says, please talk about B-Ball quitting.
Yeah, we did that.
When he was called out for tanking.
Yeah, typical B-Ball.
I mean, I think that if you look back, which everything's documented in PR, at least for now.
Yeah.
If you look back, you'll see. I mean, this is a guy that perpetually tanked and did whatever he could to screw over the next guy and at this point, he's in a bad place because of it. Like, just he's not participating anymore, and that's fine.
He could suck my Xbox One.
Well, and I mean the problem with him is he was such an asshole about it that we loved him when he was participating. We loved him being a part of it when he was there. He was a guy that kind of he was hit or miss with a lot of people, but the way he just decided to quit like that. Good riddance to him. I'm glad you guys banned him because that sucks.
Oh, he started making comments too, like,
yeah.
Oh yeah, this trade's bad. I mean, it might have been good or bad, whatever.
Yeah.
He's out of the league.
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, again, we go back, like, good or bad trades, regardless. We'll see what happens with the Nuggets. That was a bad trade, probably the worst trade in all of Sim League history at this point, but we don't know what that's
if I end up with Shaq.
We don't know if that's gonna end up being
good if you do.
We don't know if that's going to end up being the same thing. Like, but for this guy to cry all the time about it, it's just, you guys knew. I mean, when he bitched and moaned about the Cavaliers-Lakers trade, that was when he really came out and decided to be an asshole and never look back.
Well, once an asshole, always an asshole. And I just, like, obviously, as you saw in the Raptors Sonics trade thread where Isaiah, you saw how my feelings were towards them after that. Because again, we had been going back and forth in trade negotiations for about you know, a week and a half.
Yeah.
And it was all but, you know, it was all but done in the sense that we were basically, we had the premise of the trade, and you can talk, Scott can vouch for this, because he had been looking at it with me, and I had been kind of consulting him and just seeing what he thought about it. And it was, I mean, it was pretty much done. And then the night of the LSU-Alabama game, there was a couple of things asked, and I said, no, I just, you know, this is what I like. This is what's there. Didn't hear a fucking word from him until after he had posted the trade with the Raptors.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he didn't even give me, you know, at least the decency to say, hey, you know, we've been working on this for a while. Here's your chance to up the ante if you really want him.
Which would you have upped the ante?
I might have a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends. It depends what he was asking for.
It wasn't like, your best offer.
Sure. If somebody... If somebody came back and said, I've got a firm offer for this, do you want to match it?
If I really wanted that player, which I may have, I'm, you know, it's up in the air, but I may have made a move, but I didn't. And, you know, he never gave me the opportunity. So he can kiss my ass. I don't give a shit. I'm glad he's gone.
What are you playing right now? What are you playing? What games are you playing? We're going to do that real quick.
2K.
What are you playing? You're playing Pokemon.
Pokemon? No, I haven't played it in a while. I haven't really played any games. Girls' Hearts. Just kidding.
Playing mostly 2K at this point, but
yeah,
Call of Duty, we need to start up soon. But,
I've been getting killed a lot in Call of Duty, and I quit because I hate losing.
Well, we have...
Losing,
we're actually...
Really?
So we have 5 PlayStation 4 owners in our league, and, you know, they all have 2K, so we are starting up a league. We're doing a draft of sorts, a creation draft of sorts, because unfortunately the online mode is not that deep. But
we should have a vote, a podcast vote, on whose team you like built the
best. Yeah, okay. We'll wait until
it's probably gonna win.
We'll wait till it's finished. But right now it's
looking starters.
Yeah. Okay. So we got our first 3 picks. How about that?
Starters and 6 men.
Okay, that's fine.
So after the 6th round, we'll put up a poll
on
which team you like.
Well, check out the thread. It's going on right now. You know, it's just the 5 of us picking our teams. But right now we have 3 picks in each. One guy has 4. We should be able to get this draft done before Thanksgiving, I would think. Hopefully by tomorrow. I think once
we get
people in and rolling.
You got to realize that we have to wait a little while for Inner.
Yeah.
For his new PlayStation.
The thing is, some of these guys are gonna, their ratings are gonna go down, so just be wary of that.
Yeah, whoever got Derek Rose is gonna be really up shit's creek when they put him out for the season.
That's me, I'm hoping.
You may need a dress.
It's the only reason I almost went with somebody else. What do you think about the PlayStation 4 so far? We've been typing like it, you know, talking on the threads. We might as well say it right here on podcast. Is it the greatest thing you've ever had in your entertainment center?
I mean, yes. I'll go with the politically correct answer. Yeah, I mean, yeah, absolutely. It's great. I mean, we talked about this feature, and it's such a little feature that you have out there, but the fact that...
It's blown my mind.
I can plug my headphones into my controller, and a lot of people might not understand this, but once you get married, it's a huge feature, because, like, you're not disturbing the whole house, you can play as loud as you want. And, I mean, it's a big feature for those of us.
Yeah, I mean, I like it just because I can use my iPhone headset to plug it into the controller, and it's better than the one they shipped with. It is pretty much as comparable as a lot of other you know, headphones out there, but I can do everything I can for the online, and I get to listen to the system over it as well, which is something I couldn't do with the 360 when I had the 360, which was the only one that really came with a headset. I never bought a headset for the PlayStation 3, so lots of stuff. Hey everybody, go and put that on your Christmas wish list, because if you're on the fence, it's pretty awesome. I've heard good things about the Xbox, but so far PlayStation 4 has got an amazing lineup, and it's just been a lot of free games, a lot of stuff to get hung up with, and it's been good.
All right, so
God, I wish I remember what that other segment was. Damn it.
Well, let's give some clothing thoughts.
Clothing thoughts?
clothing thoughts?
Clothing thoughts.
Closing thoughts on...
When is episode 2 this season? Let's put it on the books right now.
Well, I mean...
Seen a week.
Yeah.
A week's probably fair, huh?
Yeah.
Day after Thanksgiving, I don't know what you have planned, but we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Maybe a week or two.
Yeah. Maybe we'll see. We'll reconvene. Maybe at the end of the week. Maybe getting in next week. We'll figure it out.
I think Fridays are usually the best anyway. I think most people kind of expect it then. And by that point, you'll have 2 Sims that week.
Yeah.
Get on Skype. It's a lot of fun. The couple times I've been on, it's a lot of fun. And explain to me breaking down the scores, because I don't think I've ever been on there early enough for that.
So pretty much
says it out loud.
Yeah, he knows who's on. Well, he knows who's on. He'll say like, all right, these are the teams. So read out the scores, for the teams that are on.
Oh, cool.
So he'll say these are what happened, but then when it's actually like your team that's up, he'll tell you, and then you can ask him like, you know. Who did anyone get injured? What are the box? You know, who's? I mean, you know, you can ask questions about those games. It's kind of fun. It gives it a different level or a different depth to it, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, so like Trey said, get on if you can, if you're available.
You can hear Darth cheat and resound.
Yeah. And I think today, I'm not sure what time that.
He said 6 to 7.
Okay, so.
Six and seven.
Just like Derek Coleman's ratings, this Skype sim is going to go down.
Yep.
So let's.
I was thinking too. I was thinking the same exact joke.
R.I.P. Poor Sam Wave.
R.I.P. Is R.I.P.D. D stand for Derek?
R.I.P. Bitch killing the club.
Now y'all are just hilarious.
Sorry, Soundwave. I just had to stick that one in there and twist the knife a little bit. I know it's been a painful training camp for you. You've gone through a couple personality changes. I was a fan of the Big Doug iteration.
Oh,
where
that was
sick people.
He created a couple people, didn't he? I saw that a couple times.
He was point guru. He asked about Eric Gordon for who was it, Del Curry. glad to have you back.
You know what? We did this the last time, and we did preseason predictions, and now we're 12 games in. The Pelicans are 6-6 on a 3-game winning streak right now.
Mm-hmm.
What are y'all's thoughts about that? Real quick, we can do that. We're not going anywhere.
The Pels are looking good. I like where they're going. They're starting to gel on the offensive end. Obviously, they have hiccups here and there. Tonight's going to definitely be a big test for them.
I like what I've seen from that crew that's ending the game. The one
five.
That everybody's talked about, the big five. Like, Anderson and Tariq are not starting, but they're the ones finishing the games. And in the couple times I've seen them, you know, in these 3 games since Anderson's come back, essentially, they've been unbelievable down the stretch.
I like how I'm seeing continued progress from the guys.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think we're anywhere near what we should be right now. We're not a great team. We almost blew that game to the Cavs. I mean, if it wasn't for a miraculous comeback, basically, we would have lost that game. But you can see the players progress and starting to feel a little bit more comfortable in their roles. And I think that's a huge thing, part of team building.
Mm-hmm.
Like we've talked about in Pelicans Report, you really have to like let these guys grow together.
Right.
And you can't just sit there and try to blow it up for cap space every, you know, 5 to 10, you know, every time itch gets there.
I hate to say that, I don't want to compare us directly to that team, but you remember the Heat when they got together in that first season.
Yeah, we talked.
They were below 500 for the first 3 weeks, right? I mean, and then they clicked. And I think that's what we're seeing now. Tyreek put up 19 against Cleveland.
The reason why you can do this comparison is look how great those Heat players were, and they struggled. We're not trying to compare the Pelicans to the Heat. We're trying to say, look how great that team was and those players were, and they struggled. Now look at what we have, and no offense to our team, but it's nowhere near.
It's subtract like 3 or 4 years from age two.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and the only thing that worried me about the Cleveland game, I thought Bynum, who was maybe one of the more legit centers as far as big man defensively, they put him on it. Davis, and Davis looked lost on the floor. And I think Davis is going to be still okay playing defense against guys like that, but I think offensively he's going to struggle if you can put a center on I mean, that's when you're going to need Jason Smith to really step it up. Or you're going to need Anderson to be on the floor and really, you know, pushing the ball outside. But that's the only thing I took away from the Cleveland game that really kind of freaked me out. But then again, Anthony Davis has been our all-star for the first 12 games. There's been games we should have won that we just didn't come up, we didn't get up for. But we've won the last three at this point. We have two big tests this week. Actually, we have somebody else on Friday, I think.
We're playing Friday?
Yeah, but we're playing somebody.
Is it here?
Decent, no. We're on the road.
Oh, okay.
We don't get back here for another week.
But
yeah, but no, we play the Spurs tonight. We play the Warriors tomorrow. Those are two huge tests for our team because we're gonna still be this team towards the bottom, looking up at these contenders. And I think the Spurs are 11-1 now. Did they play again?
11-1.
So they're 11-1. We're 6-6. This is the team we want to be like. This is a team that we want to show that we can play with, and I think we're going to see that. Less Laker blowouts and more
we play Philadelphia.
Come from behind. Yeah, Philadelphia. That's right. Never mind. That team's. We should be able to beat that team again.
That's it. That may be another game that Drew when he goes home. Well,
after beating them by 45 the last time, or 40 or whatever it was, the Sixers last Friday.
Yeah. Well, they also were missing some people. So
yeah.
They were missing Michael Carter.
That was the first time we got Anderson back. So, anyways, so that's the Pelicans update. Saints look good too.
Yeah.
Got a big game on Monday night and next week. Hopefully, we'll have another podcast before then so we can break that down as well. We don't have to talk about fake sports all the time. We could talk about real sport.
I think,
The Red Sox won the World Series since the last time we convened.
The Pelicans play on that Monday night game, too.
Do they?
They play Chicago.
Here?
At Chicago.
Oh, okay. We're both on the road.
Without Derrick Rose now, so it's one of those games that
you gotta get a watch
we probably didn't have a chance in the beginning.
Yeah.
That's a watch party.
Yeah.
Good. All right, well, I think we're going to close this out now. We've kind of rambled on there for the last 15 minutes. But
yeah, it's been fun. We look forward to having another podcast soon.
Yeah,
so.
And we'll get some more guests on. It's really easy to do. Actually, you guys should be recording the Skypes and putting them up. You should record like
there's
30 minutes
many,
of Skype.
Yeah, there's too many. It's too many to upload. But, I mean, that's one of the incentives of getting on and having, you know, coming on and do that because they know, like, it's...
You actually see what's going on.
Is Nola, Darth, me, Bo, or not Bo, Ben, or Bow to the Bill, whatever you want to call him. Scott comes on during the weeks. Who else? Loco's on there. Sometimes you get Wignosey on there.
Yeah.
So, you know, the more the merrier. It's always fun. So, just have fun.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well,
I think I'm just going to post this up. We'll see it up in a few minutes.
Yeah. Slow out.
Slow. Simply go over everything.
I'm chucking the deuces.